Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, we're coming up quickly on March 31st. It's not only Easter, but it is No Escape at the Silverton Casino. Door time around 3:45, 4 o'clock. Pre-show matches around 4:30. Show starts at 5. Man, how's it coming along here? I know it was a long process to finally get the contract in place. Now, what's the scramble like?
Well, you know, fortunately, like what we had to do in the past when we didn't have a venue and we ended up doing the cannery, that, you know, I pushed for tickets. And even though we got to do it through the Silverton box office, I was acquiring purchases. Right. So now, again, it's more work on my part, which I'm used to. So to other people, like, oh, shit, that's crazy. I can't believe it. You got to collect money from people, and then you got to go buy tickets, and then you got to go transfer the tickets. And it's like, yeah, but you know what? I want to make sure we're getting, you know, the maximum when it comes to this. Instead of putting it out 2 weeks beforehand, we actually, you know, have about 85 front row, and we have more than 60 sold already. So we're almost, and that's not counting every single regular who may have already purchased tickets. I emailed the guy yesterday, like, hey, can you give me a rundown? Because, you know, I've purchased some tickets on the website, you know, so, but I know a couple of people have already said they had purchased them through the website. So that way I could keep track of what we got left. And all that's ahead. But the thing is, it's like we're doing a lucha thing on Saturday over at Prim. We're helping them out. First, they're going to rent the ring and, you know, doing the vendor stuff. You know, being an actual business helps, because now we actually have talked with people about the arena there and about maybe doing something down there. And through Ruben from Mass Republic, you know, we got four or five luchadors, you know, that'll be driving in from Tijuana for the event. Mariachi Montaña, you know, now have an opportunity to wrestle in front of thousands for a giant Mexican festival with live bands and food trucks. And it's a whole crazy thing that's going on this Saturday starting at noon. And the wrestling, we're going to have like 2 45-minute segments. So there's going to be like 3 matches on each one of those. So I was dealing with that. And then we have the Toy Con. And then it was like, they send me the contract. And it's like, what are you talking about? You're expecting me to do we agreed on the price. Now you eliminated the price for the Saturday show. And then you said, oh, I thought you were doing it for this price. It's like, yeah, the Friday night show. Like, I'm not losing money to pay everybody, and I got to now come out of pocket. So then we got Brian Cage that, you know, they're taken care of, and they're like, oh, I thought it was part of your deal. It's like, you're paying me this. I said you could get Brian Cage, so now I'm just going to pay him his high fee, and that's coming out of my money too? Like, what are you guys doing? You know, you guys have taken forever to get this done. Like, we agreed on the price. We agreed on no different than when we did it with Tessa Blanchard. They wanted the main event. They covered that. And, you know, dealing with it, it's just another process of doing that. And it's like, we're closing in on that. You know, we're 3 weeks away. And that one's a little easier because we don't have to go out and push tickets, but we're getting the flyers out and we're putting together the matches, and we got Chris Bay and Danny Limelight. Like, I'm not being cheap and just using like some places have done in the past where they just use some of all their students. Nobody cares. Nobody watches the show and nobody's right there. We already got Chris Bay, Limelight, Van de Griff. And that's just the start of it, along with Brian Cage on the show Friday night. So yeah, if you think like we're making like this big score, we're not. You know, I could have put 6 matches with 12 students on it, and we would have got paid the same amount. But I mean, you know, there's going to be people there, so I want to have a good show.
Right. And I guess with that, you know, what is it that then ultimately you have to, are you still doing back and forth with them, or is, you know, are you, I guess, at what point are you able to start finalizing everything in terms of knowing who's available, who's going to be on the show and all that, because that's coming up fairly quick.
Yeah, you know, because it is WrestleMania weekend, so I wanted to make sure the main players and Limelight hit me up. He was like, hey, I'm available. I'm like, okay, let's figure it out. You know, you should be able to sign and, you know, maybe sell some merchandise as well as, you know, because Mick Foley and Sting are going to be there. Sting will be there Sunday, and Mick Foley, I believe, will be there maybe Friday, but definitely Saturday, and we're doing a Saturday at noon thing. So he's going to be signing around that time also. So, you know, there's going to be wrestling fans that are going to be there. And Sting's got to be the hottest he's ever been. You know, he just retired. So you would think that a lot of people, you know, are going to want to have the opportunity for the picture ops and the signings. So, you know, it's also free. All you got to do is pay for your ticket to ToyCon. So if you bought your Sting autograph or your Mick Foley, you know, you just show up and watch a good show. Right. So, you know, we want to make sure that people who may never have been aware of what FSW does, like, oh, shit. Oh, I heard of that guy. Oh, Chris Bay, he was the TNA tag champ. Oh, man, Brian Cage, what the fuck? You know, this is good shit. And then you sprinkle it in with some of the younger talent and some of the other guys that are really good that may not have been seen at a national level. And, you know, maybe you find a few fans and there's kids there and, hey, we can promote the kids class and maybe we get some more students. So, you know, it's a win-win. And, you know, I'm looking at the big picture and not how much money we're going to make on one show, because, you know, on that one, it ain't going to be a lot just because of the people. I have to cover Chris Bay and I got to cover Danny Limelight. So, you know, the only one they're covering is Cage.
Right. Speaking of cages, you got No Escape with right now. How many cage matches are locked in? Is it?
We got four. Four? We have eight matches and four will be in the cage.
So it'd be four, then intermission to put up the cage and then four in the cage, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So right now, when you look at the four cage matches, do you have an idea how you're laying that out in terms of?
Yeah, I have the order set up for what we're going to, you know, start. Kenny King and Clutch is going to be the first match in the cage. It's the last one that we finalized as a cage match. The main events are going to be Hero and Shogun. Working on some ideas what we're going to do in that match, because you want to, you know, kind of change things up a little instead of, hey, we got four cage matches and they're exactly the same.
Right.
The semi-main will be the women's steel cage ladder match. You know, the last time we had one of those, which was the only time we had one of those, was Matt Hardy versus Kevin Cross or Killer Cross, and it was probably in like 2015 or something, and that was at the Silverton. So now the women are going to be battling for the vacant women's championship, because the title, they both scored a double pin in a championship match and we declared the title vacant. Cross couldn't make something and we had an interim champion. So that was the same situation. It was Hardy won the interim title and him and Cross had two belts on the, hanging from the rafters. And so we're going with that. And then probably the most heated feud of them all is going to be Danny Limelight and Hammerstone. So that'll be the second cage match.
Gotcha. And then what is the four lead up matches? I know we've got a tag team championship match. Is that correct?
Yes. Sky High basically won some eliminator matches. And they'll get an opportunity with the West Coast Wrecking Crew. Dante King and Damian Drake, that heated up pretty quickly. And they're going to be in an I Quit match. We got Gregory Sharp and Bodie for the No Limits title. And then we have the Death Proof reunion with the addition of Andy Delgado, along with Cody and Jake, the Nevada State champion, taking on the new faction, I guess the Las Vegas murder scene. And it's Bateman, Lazarus, and Alice Blair. So that'll be a six-person tag. So that's already eight matches. That's a show. We're done. But yeah, we're not done, because we have so much talent that it was like, oh, okay, maybe somebody wasn't making it. Well, everybody made it. Well, we already have to open the show with the suicidal six-way scramble. And, you know, because we are going to be a little pressed for time. I saw Sammy Callahan do it, and I liked it. So when the show starts at 5, instead of, hey, the first match, right before we start at 5 and we play the, you know, the opener, we will introduce the six participants. So right at like 5 on the dot, you know, the bell's going to ring. And yeah, so far, the first three participants have been signed, and they are making his return, banged up, out of action for a while. Remy Marcel will be in the match. Matt Vandegrift will be in the match. And Brett the Threat will be in the match. Mm-hmm. So those are the first three. And, you know, I have so much going on. It's like, okay, now I got to figure out, you know, who, you know, hey, are we bringing in, you know, an Eli Everfly or a Brandon Gatson or, you know, the Arizona crew in a class and things like that. So we're right, trying to finalize everything and figure it out. And then we're probably going to do it probably about 4:30-ish, because I don't want to do another scramble. We might do like a multi-man tag with some of the younger talent to expose them to wrestling in front of a very big crowd. You know, we've talked about it 100 times, our younger class. There's so many, you know, you got Fox, you got, you know, it might be a tag because we got, maybe it's a four-way tag. You got the Mariachis, you got Fox and AJ, you got the Killer D's, you know, the list goes on and on of the talent that we, you know, been working with, you know, maybe even a class in Devon Reno, you know, whatever it is. We're going to try to get something, you know, that isn't exactly the same as something else. Right. So, you know, maybe it's a four-way tag. Maybe it's eight-man tag match. You know, New Japan loves doing those eight-man, 10-man New Japan, you know, tag team matchups. They'll do like four in a show. So we're just looking to do one. So, you know, it's the first casino show since November. A lot of young talent, a lot of guys are, you know, trying to make that name for themselves. So, you know, they're going to be there, part of the ring crew anyway. So, you know, if they can help move some tickets and, you know, we saw at the last High Octane, you know, a lot of the younger guys, they're scrapping, man. It's like, they're all friends and everything, but They also understand that there's competition to get to that next, to, you know, to earn that regular spot on High Octane and get on a casino show. That's, you know, somebody making their casino show debut, you know, that's a big deal to them.
Right. you know, the setup in there, are you going to have any kind of, you know, difficulties this time with?
Well, they talked about moving the projector.
Okay. That's one of the big questions.
you know, we don't want no backdrops, you know, breaking the $2,000 projector.
Well, you know, when you're climbing up to grab the belts and you accidentally grab the projector and use it as a foreign object.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we understand, and that's what happens, you know, from years ago. They moved the projector from there. You know, the spot it used to be in was always fine. We never had any issues with it. So,
right. And what is there an understanding now of what's going on with having to have anybody of their crew running stuff like lights or sound or anything like that?
No, we haven't had the conversation since the last time we had the conversation. So, yeah, we need to make sure, because there's not going to be an actual lighting person on staff, but they have to move the lights that weekend right. to put them all in front of the ring instead of scattered all over the place, and which made it very, you know, not very bright in the middle of the ring where we need it to be. It's like, I just need the white lights just this way and this way. It, you know, I don't need to hire and pay another $600, because once they're set there, that's it. You're done. So I'm going to pay somebody to sit there for 5 hours, 3 hours at a show. It's like, you know, that prices us out.
Right.
You know, they're insisting that we have to have the sound guy. So we have to eat the cost. And because, again, everything took so long, the, you know, the discount we were talking about getting for multiple shows. Well, we're less than 4 weeks away for the contract. So, again, that'll be, oh, yeah, we'll work on that for the next one.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, we lose out again. You know, you're at the mercy, and, you know, the other option is we try to jam pack the FSW arena, which will have, hopefully would only be able to have half the people that we're going to have at the show. So, you know, that's added income. And I understand there's the cost that we're saving, but if you multiply it out, having those extra people at the Silverton makes up for, you know, that extra cost for the sound guy or whatever. So,
right. You know, you kind of said it with getting some of the younger talent exposed to the larger crowd. What does it mean for these guys in terms of you're going out there and you might have the nerves, you want to deliver a good performance, you know, is there anything that they can do to kind of get ready and, you know, realize that, you know, this is an opportunity to shine, but also, you know, you have to make each other look good and, you know, and kind of, you know, I mean, it's a unique situation because of the fact that a lot of people don't get this type of exposure. So, you know, what is it that you're looking for these guys to kind of step up and do? And then do they have to go back to ring crew as soon as they're done?
Yeah, they do. You know, they're students. They're getting an opportunity on a pre-show match. Yeah. So they're expected to be around and help. You know, this isn't like, in reality, we want guys that are actually on the main roster to help, you know, and some do and some don't. But, you know, if we don't have enough guys, you hope some of these people are like appreciative and step up and grab a guardrail. You know, we're not asking you to unload the ring by yourself. You know what I mean? You do have a lot of help.
Yeah. Is there anyone, you know, that you think the feuds that have been built up, is there anyone that you're hoping that the match turns out the way that you envisioned the feud working up to the you know, to the actual match?
Well, I am definitely interested to see how the entire, you know, Dante King, Damian Drake feud plays out. You know, it was two guys who were friends and trained together and did all this stuff, but there was not a lot of interaction with them in FSW initially. Right. So right. It becomes a little difficult because Dante was a newer guy who we were hoping that the crowd can get behind and care about and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, you know, they had one match together and they did pretty well, in all honesty. But, you know, Damian Drake was dealing with his own issues. And, you know, this is a big opportunity for both guys because Dante was on the verge of people caring. And that's the thing, right. When you're a newer guy, getting people to give a shit of who you are. So this is a big match for him. Damian Drake, on the other hand, is basically turned his back on the crowd. He was that young prodigy at 18 that had a lot of success. And then he's been really stagnant over the last couple of years after the Unguided kind of fell apart. So both guys have a lot to prove. If Dante King wants to become a player, he's got to go out there and he's got to get the crowd behind him and he's got to put on a great performance. And Damian Drake, if this doesn't click, I don't know what he can do to make his value, you know, reach new heights again. Yeah. So definitely an important match for both guys.
And what's the difference between what you saw when Dante came in and where he's at now? Because, you know, Dante was, he had a little seasoning, but he was still fairly green, and he's starting to look like he's more comfortable, and he really is psychologically getting, very solid in the ring.
Yeah, there was never an issue. Back in the day, a couple of years ago, I guess you could say, Gypsy Mac would, you know, hit me up here and there, and we used her a few times. And I heard good things about Dante King, but I didn't really have a spot for him. So a lot of times he would come up and not really get used just because we had too much and they weren't around. And then they decided to make the move to Vegas. And you could see, you know, tall, lanky kid, very athletic. You know, he understands the business. He's humble. You know, he's a guy that, you know, you grow to like and you watch and people like him. And the other wrestlers like him in training. And, you know, he wasn't having to ride the coattails of Gypsy Mac. But back then, it kind of was because she was the one who did all the reaching out. So now with him here, it becomes a little easier to utilize the guy just because of that fact that he's always around. And he's here. And we're watching the growth. And the fans pick up on it also. And like I always say, you know, the fans are big on, oh, yeah, this guy's not a regular, so we're not going to really worry too much about him type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And you mentioned Gypsy. How's she doing coming back from her injury?
You know, she's gotten in the ring. She's made some posts about certain things like, hey, I've done this and I've been able to do this. So in all honesty, it seems like the progress is getting there. It's just taking probably a lot longer, you know, than she would have wanted, you know, sure. And unfortunately those things happen. You know what I mean? And, you know, you can't rush it. And, you know, hopefully she'll be back soon. You know, the women's division's heating up. You know, we brought in some new talent. We had, Brooke Havoc recently, who's talented. You know, yep. Alice Blair's involved with Bateman and Cody Crew and things like that, along with Rochelle and Moz and of course, Viva and Brittany Brooks. So, you know, Gypsy Mac, you know, is very eager to get back into the mix.
Yeah. That leads to the women's match. You have two very talented young wrestlers in, you know, Rochelle and Brittany. A ladder match in a cage. I mean, that's a lot of there's a lot of moving parts in that. How are they going about, you know, putting something like this together? Because it's, I mean, it's not an easy match to do.
Yeah, probably not. Again, it's the mindset of me saying, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to do a ladder match because, you know, it's a good way for the vacant title, but why wouldn't we do it inside the steel cage? Now, yeah. Whether the logistics of that make it easy, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I have ideas of what I kind of want, but I've not wrestled. So it isn't like, oh, it's simple to do. You know, that becomes their job to be like, oh, okay, this is what you want. All right, how are we going to get there? And, you know, we got good people involved that hopefully, you know, at training or whatever. And, you know, Rochelle's pretty experienced, been around a while. Brittany is very, very wise for her age.
Yeah.
So you say, hey, you know what? Go out there and kill it. You know, they got a lot to live up to. You know, last year it was Viva Van and Maserati, and it was a blood fest.
And it wasn't an intentional blood fest either.
Well, you know, who knows with Maz? She's had a few blood fests.
Who do you turn to? I'm glad you kind of said that. Who do you turn to kind of guide them in putting together a match like this?
You know, the main thing is having a match like that, but hopefully nobody comes out of it too banged up. You know, we had the issue with both participants last year had to go to the ER.
Right.
So that's not what you're really looking for in the match. So, yeah. You know, hopefully, the Chris Bays of the world and the Remy's and the Cody's, and they'll chime in because, you know, they've had polar opposite type of steel cage matches. You know, you've had Cody and Funny Bone who, you know, went out there killing each other. And that was a blood fest. But then you've had stuff where there was exciting things that happened inside the ring with, say, Remy and Ice Williams and going through doors and things like that. You know what I mean? Right. So, and Chris Bay had one with Ice Williams that was a steel cage match, but there was far less, probably no blood in that match. So there's all these different things you got to look to be like, hey, how is this going to work? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Is there who are the most experienced? Since you got four cage matches around you guys, who are the most experienced with the cages? Now, obviously, you got Kenny King in a cage, so and Clutch has, you know, had his share of cage matches.
Kenny had one, I remember, with Cross. The Bonus Boys had one with the Players Club, and they may have had one, I believe, with Cody and Jake. So Clutch probably has two that I'm aware of. I saw Brittany Brooks. I think she's having one the same weekend in Arizona. So she's got a double steel cage weekend.
Yeah, that's Man, she's young. The body can bounce back.
Yeah, so.
But who around then, you know, is able to, you know, who do you turn to put in input to, you know, just kind of make sure everyone is on the same page? And, you know, is there anyone in particular who's, you know, assigned to certain matches, or do you just kind of give the guys the feel?
No, you know, people are going to chime in, and there's certain ones that there are that, you know, guys who train in Remy's class on Friday, some of the younger guys, for example. Well, yeah, you know, there's a good chance that Remy may agent the pre-show match. But again, if a guy like D'Lo Brown's there, a lot of times we try to go with the most experienced person to, right, you know, get things done. You know, Kenny will be there. I was talking with Bay. He is going to be around that weekend. So, you know, he's coming to the show. So he always likes to, you know, add his, you know, I wouldn't say 2 cents. I'd say about 50 cents to things. And, you know, Cody's got a big match that he's going to be dealing with. But you also got to understand, there's far less agenting going on. It's like, right, so Hammerstone and Limelight don't need Remy or Cody to agent their match. They're experienced enough. Now, Shogun and Bay are pretty tight. So, you know, I'm pretty sure Bay's going to have some ideas and recommendations and you know, thoughts about, you know, Shogun and Bay.
Right.
You know, the West Coast Wrecking Crew, Royce and Jarrell, they've been very experienced now for years. So even though Sky High is relatively new, they're pretty experienced. So, you know, they should be fine. Kenny and Clutch, they've been doing it forever. You know, Kenny's already the agent. He's in the match.
Right.
So, you know, generally it's like, okay, maybe the Scramble, because you're going to have a lot of talented people in there. So you're going to have a lot of different ideas. And that's the one thing, because, hey, you know what? We're going to do this Scramble match, and it's going to kick things off, and you want cool things to happen. But, you know, you also don't want a 30-minute match to open up a steel cage 9-match show. So,
right.
So, you know, time is important. You got to make sure people are on time and not going too crazy. And, you know, when they get their entrances, not take 8 minutes. It's like, you got to get in the ring, man. It's like, you want to have more time to wrestle and do cool things in the ring than get in the ring. You know, you can greet the fans and have fun on your entrance, but just get there.
Right. What is the role like for someone like MK, being a manager and having a steel cage there? Does it keep him from interfering, or are we going to see any Army?
Well, there you go. You know, this year we supposedly, and again, you know, there's people who've left the fencing company where we're getting the cage, but we also purchased a custom door because the way it was set up, the door would have been sideways. So we would have the come-alongs and, you know, the straps, and that would be opening the cage. So it wasn't really like you open the cage. So it's either climb right out or be pinned. So now we're supposed to have an actual door, which changes a lot of things in that situation.
Right. When, you know, you think about the tag team match, and you think about Sky High, when do you know a tag team is potentially ready to be tag team champions? I mean, how do you decide that? Because, you know, tag is not you know, it's not the most common art form in pro wrestling, because, you know, again, it's you got a lot of singles going on. So, you know, these guys have built a good following. They've built themselves up. They're out and about, you know, wrestling other places. You know, yeah, how does it hit you when you kind of go, and not saying it is their time or isn't their time, but just when you look at teams like that, what goes into your head on making that decision? And with a team like Royce and Jarrell, the other question is, how long can they hold tag belts? You had the same case with Bay and Austin. And the question is, you know, being that they have primarily outside bookings and contracts to other places, how does that weigh with you too when you have champions who, you know, you could have limited availability for those champions to defend the titles?
Well, the thing is, we don't run tons of shows, so it isn't like we're WWE and we're running, you know, 12 shows a month. We're generally running around three. A Future Shock is generally one of them. So there's probably only two potential dates that you're looking for guys. And, you know, when we had New Year's Resolution, which was supposed to be No Escape January 28th, I already knew, and I knew I wanted Hammerstone on the show. Hey, you good for this date or this date? And I'm giving guys options. And usually there's maybe three different options of what day we're going to run. And if we're lucky enough to get the majority, say the 28th, well, somebody who can't make it can't make it. And we have five championships. So if we have four title matches, it's okay. If somebody misses a show and they don't show up for a month, it's okay. And the key is, especially now, the casino shows will once again be the main focus. They're going to be the biggest shows. And we're fortunate that despite contracts, obviously we're not going to try to run against TNA now, Hammerstone sign, whatever. But as champion, you know, Hammerstone's also committed to try to make sure, as long as I get them the dates in advance. I can't guarantee somebody if I'm like, hey, we're doing a casino show in 2 weeks. You know, this was planned out, and we got March 31st, and we got that, you know, 6 weeks out. Hey, this is a potential date. What do you think? Okay, you can do it. All right. And that's where we go. You know, with Danny Limelight, he has us as one of his main priorities. So if he has a smaller show, he'll make them aware, hey, you know, I got this going on. I can't make it. And we need commitments from main guys, or they can't be in that situation. If they're not going to be around, well, I appreciate you wanting to be here, but I can't run on your schedule. You kind of got to run on our schedule. Right. You know, if you miss a casino show, it's okay. But if we have three casino shows lined up and the idea is you're a champion and you're not going to make any of the three shows, well, then it's probably wise not to have them as a champion.
Yeah. The Nevada State Championship, you know, obviously right now it won't be defended. But you know, as you look down the line, is there a potential we see Jake Cavan to defend that against Bateman?
Everything's possible. It's all on the table. There's no doubt that it seems like Bateman has his eyes set on Jake, and that's a marquee match right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can make that match happen, of course we want to make that match happen. And I'm pretty sure Jacob Austin Young would love once again to go one-on-one with Bateman. That's a big match for him. You know, there's mutual respect there. These guys have been doing it a long time, and they probably crossed paths and worked hundreds of shows together over the years because, you know, they're based out of kind of the same area.
Yeah, right. And what do you see in terms of that match? you know, how do you go about looking at that and go, oh man, this feud is kind of heating up. There's been a lot going on. You know, do we see a little more from Alice Blair and a little more from Laz in the ring? And, you know, what does that do making, you know, the other side have to step up and bring their A game? Because, you know, we're seeing a lot of maturity now from Alice and from Laz.
Well, you have to look at Andy Delgado, Laz, and Alice Blair. This is their first time, and they've been around a while, to have a main match on a casino show.
Yeah.
And again, it's like opportunities just don't pop up. And, you know, Laz has had a little more than the other two. You know, he's been in a Money in the Bank, I mean, a Cash in the Case ladder match, and you know, he's been on the shows, right, while the other two really haven't. But even with Laz, because he hasn't been around for a while, and now he's really sunk his teeth into this, they all know they need to really step up, because there's six of them there. And mixed in with everything else, now, after this, what singles matches are we going to have? Are we going to have a tag match? What's coming out of all this after the fact? Right. And if they don't perform that well, then it's going to become harder to get a spot on there. So, again, it's almost like an audition,
right,
for bigger and better things. And you're in there with some great people in Bateman, Cody, and Jacob Boston Young.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of these guys have been under the wing of Cody's training. So right, he's kind of taught them everything he could. So this is their platform to go out there and say, you know what? I may have been forgotten about. I may have been, you know, secondary in this matchup, but I'm going to prove that I'm just as good as the guys you consider to be the top guys.
Yeah.
And that's what they have to go out and do. And if they do that, well, you know, there's, you know, a good chance that, you know, they'll have an opportunity down the line.
Yeah.
And they want that opportunity.
Once No Escape ends, what is the upcoming schedule for April?
Well, right now we're scheduled Friday, April 5th. And Saturday, April 6th at the Vegas Toy Con.
Right.
The 20th and 21st, we'll be doing the ring and setup for TNA.
Right.
So right now, nothing. But I'm probably looking at the last week of April, because there's a lot of other stuff. So probably April 27th. Or May 4th, but we might do, since we haven't really done anything in April that's at the FSW Arena, and probably the 27th we'll do a Future Shock.
Okay. May 4th, are you going to do a Star Wars-themed show?
No, it'd be more of a Cinco de Mayo show. We might have more people come out to that one.
I don't know, man. The May 4th one.
Okay, maybe there'll be more people that I'd enjoy seeing at a Cinco de Mayo show than a Star Wars show. How's that?
not a fan of the nerds, are you, Joe?
Just saying, you know, I like the whatchamacallit, the baby Yoda, but you know, other than that.
So at least a baby Yoda on a pole match?
Maybe. Yeah, I can.
When about a week out, right? Almost a week out, or 2 weeks out. So is there anything now that you start looking at as potential things that you got to be looking out for in terms of stuff that could potentially need fixing over the next couple of weeks, or is everything hopefully in place?
Well, we got the new computer and we had a lot of audio issues, and I was kind of looking yesterday and trying to figure out, and, you know, still working on that, you know, because it's really important. And it seemed like the volume was just way more than it needed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was, you know, a major issue when it said to go into the settings, and it didn't seem like it was that high. And I think I know what the problem is, because we use the Zoom recorder and we take the audio from the microphones and we put it into the computer. But I think that is a lower quality connection, so we're losing the value of the high quality microphones in the Zoom recorder by taking an 1/8-inch plug and just putting it into a mic jack in the computer.
Yeah.
So I think that's what the issue would be.
And how is the crew pretty much ready? You know, how is things going on that end? And is there any special setup for this? Does Rocky have any special stage ideas?
I haven't really gotten to that part of the discussion. It's hard because the big screen at the Silverton is right in the front. So there's really not much design we can do the way that stage is set up. You know, you have the giant screen, and then 5 feet in front of the screen is the ramp to go down to the ring.
Yeah.
So in all honesty, there isn't a lot when it comes to that.
Yeah. And what's the you know, what is your feeling on when you look at, you know, the how do the people who are not in the cage matches in those first four matches basically build up the, you know, have matches that are so good in that first half of the show that those cage matches have to live up to the fact that they're cage matches? How does those first four matches kind of bring up the card to raise it so that second half is, you know, out of the ballpark with those cage matches?
Well, you know, the cage matches are supposed to set the tone. It's the main event. If there was no cage matches, the order of the show would probably be pretty similar.
Yeah.
But the reason the last four matches are the last four matches are Hammerstone and Limelight. They're two of our biggest stars who don't have championships at the time, who've gotten into this heated battle. And the heavyweight title's on the line, and the women's title's on the line. And another feud featuring our first champion, a guy who's been with me since day one, Kenny King. So in reality, Dante King and Damian Drake are out there. Yeah, the big picture is we want to have a great show. We want to do certain things. You know, we're not in this position where, hey, you guys got to sandbag it because we got to make sure the main guy. It's the main guy's job to go out there and kill it in their match. And it's also the beginning guys, the scramble, set the tone, excitement, hard hitting, fast paced, boom, 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 boom. You know, that's obviously going to be the first match of the show. So I can give you match one. I can give you match five. I can give you match six. I can give you match seven. Well, maybe not five, because at that point, the cage match. Yeah, five, six, no, six, seven, five, six, seven, eight, seven, eight, nine is the cage.
Yeah, yeah.
So there'll be five matches beforehand. So, and match one we know is the scramble. So, again, you want to mix and match. I don't want to have a scramble and then do singles match, singles match, singles match, singles match. So, It's like we have two multi-mans. So odds are match four and five aren't going to be the tag match and then the six-man match, which makes match two, three, and, you know, two and three just a singles match. We'll probably do a singles match, then a tag, then a singles, and then the other tag. And there's no right or wrong on where you place it. It's like, well, you do the six person tag right before the cage match, or do you do the tag match for the titles? Well, it's a tag title match. That's a big match. Well, you got the Nevada State champion, you got a big feud, you know, and then you have, you know, the Dante King match and Damian Drake. I'm probably looking at that and saying match two.
Sure.
So now I'm not going to follow it up with Gregory Sharp and Bodie.
Right.
So that would mean Gregory Sharp and Bodie would be match four.
Right.
So now it's where the tags are going to go would be three and five.
Yeah.
So that's all I got left to worry about the order of the matches because it's set.
So flipping a coin at this point.
You know, we'll see where we're going. I in my mind, I know where I'm going with match three and match five.
Yeah.
So, you know, card subject to change. You know, things happen. You change things up. Whatever.
Is it true that Kenny has the first cage match so that he can go make his bedtime?
Yes. Yes. You know, Kenny said, if I'm in the cage, I got to go first so I can get the hell out of there. Yeah. Okay, put it on pause. I think I got to let my dog out.
So this week, Joe, as we wrap up here, any final thoughts for the listeners and any final thoughts for people who are going to be coming to this show?
You know, definitely get your tickets, man. It's, you know, front row is going to be sold out for sure. We're hoping we have a huge turnout for the event. You know, I get to relax a little bit. You know, that, as I said, this weekend we'll be in Prim doing some stuff. And then Sunday, Noah is having his birthday party show at the FSW Arena. So I got to be there for that. But okay. The week after, I'm pretty free. So it's like we don't have anything on the docket. So yeah. It's really full steam ahead promotion wise, you know, and, you know, this could be the turning point, you know, right now, hopefully we can get that deal with the Silverton where we're doing the June show, which is the anniversary, as well as Survival of the Fittest and Against All Odds. Everything looks set for that, and hopefully we can come to an agreement and they give us a little better deal because, you know, it's really tough out there trying to find venues and doing stuff. So, you know, we got a lot of talent. You know, this show is really focused on the regular cast and crew. You know, right. it isn't a mecca where we're bringing in all these huge names. You know, this is a show that generally will do very, very well and will feature mainly local talent. And when I say local talent, I don't mean just people from Vegas, but, you know, the Hammerstones and the guys from California that we use on a regular basis.
Right.
So, you know, sky's the limit. You know, it took a while to get that first casino show in 2024. And, you know, I'll be honest, I've kind of been rejuvenated. It's like when there's so much other craziness going on and doing stuff, it kind of lights the fire on me, you know, and sometimes yeah. you're kind of complacent and it's like, well, you know, I gotta step up and do certain things. The kid kind of pulled out his stuff, so we have to get our own shit, and I can't rely on hoping somebody's going to be there. It's like, it's my job. I run the show. So I go back. So when things are good, give me all the credit you want. And when things go bad, you can blame me as much as possible. But I watch and I see everything. And it's like, okay, what do I need to do here? What do we need to do there? and it's having, you know, the right people. You know, Mikey's great to have around. You know, he's been around. You know, Corbin, a guy I never thought would be a valuable cog in the FSW engine, you know, has been very, very helpful. Even Ben came in with the, you know, the stuff for the computer and got everything going. And those people are there to help. And again, it isn't be like Joe's paying like so much money to do stuff. It's like, I'm paying what I can afford, having people get involved, trying to give them something that makes it worth their while. That right. isn't always monetarily of how much I'm getting paid. But the idea is I am getting paid and I'm considered important and I love what I'm doing. Right. And that's the thing. It's like, I want people around that wanting to do this.
Right. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And again, you know, the show will be on the 31st, which is Easter. So if you're on the East Coast, you know, it's an 8 o'clock start time. If you want to get some Easter dinner at Silverton and then see the show, you can do that too.
Yeah.
So, all right, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Until next week, we'll talk to you guys later.